Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Craig Haas. Thanks for coming, Craig.
Good morning.
Melted a little bit this week.
Yes, very spring-like.
It does feel kind of spring-like. It's too bad we had wind on Thursday and Friday on those two normal or those warmer days. Otherwise, it would have felt really nice out there. But nonetheless, this weekend is looking pretty nice as well.
Yeah, and you know, you look ahead and it looks very, very spring-like for the next, you know, 2 weeks. So I would expect to have our snow conditions looking pretty brown.
Yeah, it's really been a pretty good winter. I would say if you were a deer or a pheasant out there trying to live through it, this was probably a pretty easy one to live through. We started out pretty mild. I guess the end of January and the first part of February, we had some cold and we really built some good ice. But outside of that, we've been pretty fortunate.
Yeah, you know, and if you look to the future, you know, look at the big bump that we had last year with pheasants. But just one good winter in a row, you put two of those back-to-back, and I think there's potential for us to see another big bump in our pheasants this next year.
Yeah, I hope I hope we do pretty much get all the pheasants from this winter into the summer and have a good hatch, and going into next fall, things should look better. This time of year, the Game and Fish does a winter sex ratio survey, we call it. It's where we basically go out and count hens and count roosters and see what we're dealing with. Did you get the chance to get out and count many pheasants?
I did, but not very often. So yeah, I didn't get much time in doing that this year. But how about you?
Counted a few, mostly over in that Long Lake area. But it looks like we did get all of our numbers turned in. Have you seen anything as to what the ratio looks like? How's our? Because I know there for a while it was almost 1-to-1, and you know, when you have a poor pheasant population, that's kind of what you reflect. You have about the same number of roosters as you have hens, so hopefully we're getting a few more roosters.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, kind of get concerned, too, when they don't see a lot of roosters. But most of the time when we're going into winter, you know, what we like to see is a lot more hens than roosters. In a mild year, it's probably not as much of a big deal, but in a tough winter, there's a lot of competition for food and stuff, and roosters will, you know, outcompete hens for food sources. So on a winter like this, it's probably not a bad thing to have 1-to-1. But like you said, it's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, and we kind of count pheasants, or we have a minimum quota of how many pheasants we need to count based on how many pheasants are in that particular county. And I know they had quite the workload out in Spink and Fault County. I think they had to count over 1,000 in some of those counties, didn't they?
Yeah, and you go over there, and it's like night and day difference compared to here. I mean, you go over there, and you just see pheasants all over the place. And back here, I mean, there's a lot of voids in between seeing pheasants. And you do have pockets where you'll see quite a few, but there's a lot of bare ground in between where you just don't see anything.
Yeah, sometimes when it gets to that survey, I feel like I haven't seen many pheasants. And then when you drive around and you actually write down every one you see, by the end of the day, you've got a pretty good data set of numbers sitting in front of you. I know I talked to Blake Swanson the other day, and he didn't have very many pheasants counted in Day County, so he took a Sunday and went out and drove around and counted pheasants, and he said that about 3 hours into it, he was already over 80. So if you really stop and look, there's probably more next to the road than what you think you're seeing.
Yeah, and the thing around here is, you know, we see groups of, you know, 5, 10, 15, and if you see 20, it seems like a lot. And you go west, and they have flocks of, you know, 500-600 at one spot. So it is a big difference. But like you said, around here, there is probably more than you think, but just not as visible.
Yeah, nothing like over there, that's for sure. But it is still ice fishing season. Still quite a few ice fishermen out there. One big change that is going to take place here in a few days is the removal of ice shacks. The last day of February, we have to have all the permanent shacks not left out overnight or not left unattended. So all shacks that are considered permanent shacks or what people leave out with their name on them, those need to be removed as we move into March. So the last day of February at midnight.
Which the good thing is this year, we'll give you one extra day compared to normal because it's leap year.
Leap year,
so
yeah.
The 29th is the last day you can leave a shack overnight on the ice without anybody in it. And in every area, we get questions on this because you get to the last day of February and, you know, things look great. There's 3 feet of ice. And the question is, why do we have to take our shacks off now? Well, if you look at the week that we're going to have coming up, it's crazy how quickly things can change and how fast ice can deteriorate. And one of the things we run into quite a bit when we get these warm spells is you get a little bit of snow melting running in, those shorelines erode, and you might have, you know, 2-3 feet of ice when you get to the water, but you can't get to the shoreline, and so you can't get them off. So every year we get questions about, you know, can we get an extension to keep our shack on there? And the answer is no. 29th is the 29th. Got to have them off then. And the big reason is that you just never know how quickly things are going to change.
Yeah, even this weekend with the weather the way it is, we could really see a big change in ice conditions, especially with the little bit of snow that we have on top of the ice. That's probably going to melt, and that can really melt some ice in a big hurry and make things weak. So the date's there. The date is what it is, and we need to take them off and look for ice conditions to really start changing here over the next few days.
And we do have, you know, that's another 10 days away, eight days away, week away. So, you know, a lot can change within then. And something we don't see a lot of is, it seems like we used to see a lot more guys leave shacks out and they just leave them. You know, they might put them out on middle of January and not come back to them for a couple of weeks. And I think more now we have probably some better quality shacks out there. More people are going back and forth and they're just not leaving them as long. So it's not as big of a problem. But when we get snow and stuff, you know, some of those get snowed in and you can't get to them and just very, very complicated to get off. So I would not wait to the last minute to get it off. If you do have one out, make sure you take care of that.
And we are still getting a lot of calls into the office on our cell phones and what have you on ice conditions in the area. I would say as of today, ice conditions are still pretty strong in most places. But there is still some spots of worry. I know the west end of Goose Lake has kind of been one of those areas where people call and say they punched a hole over there and they were only in 7 or 8 inches. And just anywhere along that Grover Road, kind of shallow, pretty rocky, just never built great ice this year. And that's going to be one of the first places to go. And with the water coming right up to the road there, a lot of anglers access Goose Lake right there. And that can be a place of pretty critical danger as we start to warm up. So places like that are just going to need some extra caution. But I think the bigger lakes, Kempeska and even Ponset, for the most part, they're pretty good to drive on still. But with the weather we have this weekend, if you get a lot of weight on top of that ice, it really could start to sag.
And, you know, we get to this time of year and we have longer days, more sunlight, more sun power. And as that snow gets off the top of the ice and, you know, ice is kind of fairly clear in spots and you have those roadbeds and rock piles, rock points, you know, they all heat up from the sun and those usually deteriorate faster. So edges and points, always be careful of those. Old roadbeds, you know, those are all spots you got to be nervous of. Lake Albert's got a ton of points, rock points that go all the way out. To me, Albert's one of the scariest lakes to drive on, and you just always have potential on some of those areas.
Yeah, definitely. As far as a fishing report goes, things are maybe slowed down a little bit here in the last week or so. By far, the busiest lake we still have in this district is probably Ponset. A lot of people still on Ponset. I know we had some guys from the office that went down there and fished on personal time. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and they said there was probably 100 shacks down there then. So awfully busy spot. I think last time I was down there, the perch bite was fairly slow, but the crappies kind of almost took the place of the perch. So I think the crappies have been pretty active this week.
And I think it's been hit or miss. You know, there's that big school of perch that's moving around out there, and, you know, the guys are staying on that. I think they're doing pretty good. And the other thing is there's so many walleyes in there that are under 15 inches. You really got to be careful. Odds are you're going to catch a bunch of walleyes, and none of them are going to be 15 inches. But the good thing is they are, looks like they are growing, and there is a strong class of them. So I would think, you know, a lot of those fish that are unable to keep right now by midsummer are going to be keepable size, and I would look for Ponset to have a really good midsummer walleye bite.
Yeah, around Christmas time when that perch bite first took off, we were seeing some walleye being caught, and they were all 13 and a half or 14, and you couldn't even come close to stretching one to 15, and now we're going down there and measuring some walleye that are right at that 15, 15 and a half mark. So I'm assuming that that's the same year class that was 13 not too terribly long ago. So they're growing like weeds, and that it should be good as we move into spring. But good crappie bite this week, pretty decent perch bite still, and a lot of little walleye being caught, but plenty of action down there on Lake Ponset. Lots of sleeper shacks, it seems like, and starting to be a pretty good number of non-residents down there too.
And other than Ponset's, Dry Lake too has been kind of on and off, more off than on. Indian Springs, I've heard some better days over there, but still nothing consistent. Goose, same thing. Good on perch and walleyes at times, but just again, no consistency whatsoever. You go north to Bitter Lake, and Bitter's been pretty reliable for a walleye bite, but it sounds like that's even slowed down quite a bit last weekend, which weather played a big factor in it last weekend, but sounds like the success last weekend was a lot slower than it had been.
Yeah, last weekend sounded really poor on Bitter from everybody I talked to, but probably hit or miss. We couldn't have already caught all those 14-inch walleyes out of there yet.
No, and you can't expect them to bite every day all winter long, but...
Yep. I think Clark County's been a big question this year as to why, it's been so busy for the last couple years, and in the Clark County winter bite this year, whether it's Reed Lake, Bailey's, or either Dry or Indian Springs, has kind of been a rough year over there on the Clark County Lakes. So we look for, be interesting to see this spring when we get into open water fishing, if some of those bodies of water bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, and like you said, we talked about Ponset being great for perch and Bitter being good for walleyes, and that's been about the only two good hot bites all winter long.
Yeah, it really has. Large majority of the fishermen that are coming out are going to those two bodies of water, and that's really about it.
And we have so many other lakes with potential that just haven't taken off, and they could be going nuts and nobody would even know because there's not enough people out there to try them.
Yeah.
I haven't hardly seen a fisherman on Swan this year.
No, not hardly at all. Clear Lake too, been another one by Thomas that hasn't had a whole lot of fishermen on it, and usually it gets three or four decent bites in a year. You'll have a 5 or 6 day span here and a week or so there that the perch really take off, or the walleye, but this winter we haven't really had that. Winter kills, we've kind of made it through the winter without a whole lot of winter kill, or if any. Kind of just starting to get some rumors of Wolf Slough maybe having some dead minnows in it and some smelly water, but we'll get some guys down there to take a look at that and see if indeed there is a winter kill on Wolf. But outside of that, there's virtually been no winter kill.
No, it's been in such a mild winter, I wouldn't expect it unless it was a pretty shallow area. But we should be in good shape for most lakes.
Yeah, one that kind of shocked me is Grass Lake. There just hardly is any water left in that poor lake, and it's made it through another winter with no winter kill, so that's going to be a great walleye lake moving into the spring as well.
Yeah, as soon as you can get a boat in there, I think it's going to be another good year.
Yep, that'll be the kayaking walleye capital of the world. Outside of fish, we are getting very near some snow geese showing up in the area. Sounds like that Lewis and Clark Lake down by Yankton is starting to get a few snow geese on it already. Sounds like the rainwater basin in Nebraska is piling up with snow geese, and Missouri is already into shooting some of the younger juvenile birds in the snow goose world. So that is quickly approaching, and we've even heard a snow goose report as far north as Falkton. So look for snow geese to maybe start showing up in the area this weekend if we have some of that warmer weather. Other than that, Hunt Safe, we have now posted all of the Hunt Safe classes that are going to take place in the whole area on our website. So you can hop on gfp.sd.gov, click on the Outdoor Learning tab, scroll down to Hunt Safe, and on there you will find all of the Hunt Safe classes listed in the area. We've got two left here in Watertown. The first one is going to be on April 7th. Through the 9th, and the second one is going to be in August. So you can hop on, take a look at those. Not much for changes as far as Hunt Safe goes. They're still going to be 3-day classes. They're going to be on in the evenings, Thursday and Friday, and then most of the day Saturday with some live fire. We are going to move venue a little bit. We used to have the Hunt Safe classes at the City Auditorium, and we are going to scoot those over to the middle school in Watertown. So that'll be a good venue change for us, I think. Other than that, all the sign up and everything takes place online, so go ahead and hop on, sign up for those, and if you have any questions, give us a call at the Watertown office. Other than that, looks like it should be a nice weekend. Do you have anything else, Craig, for the good of the cause?
No, I would just enjoy the nice weather, and spring is not too far away.
We will see what next week brings. Have a good weekend.